Let's get to our guest, Ann Berry, Chief Investment Officer at Wheelhouse. So, Ann, the big movers today, as we heard from Doug, were the jump in bond yields and then also the Chinese yuan tumbling to the weak side of 7 to the dollar at the moment, 701.34. It almost feels like we're moving into this area of be careful what you wish for the Fed.
You know, I do think that's right, because on the one hand, inflation coming under control is so important. But on the other hand, as we look at this internationally, something like 40% of revenue of S&P 500 businesses is generated by overseas markets. And the strength of the dollar, which is really a derivative of what the Fed is doing right now, is not good news for the market. And I think that's currently being underestimated here on the U.S. side.
Do you think that the inflation picture is as solid and as strong as it is suggested in the headline? And on top of that, do you think the labor market is as strong as people suggest it is?
The labor market at the moment, if we start there, it definitely seems to be strong in terms of the actual quantities of people being hired. And we saw that with low unemployment claims data today. But I do think what seems to be slowing down at the moment is the huge wage inflation that we saw. I think the labor force is perhaps struggling at the moment with feeling as though they can't necessarily press as aggressively as they could beforehand, because we've got noise about layoffs when it comes to their compensation, and yet we're still seeing hiring be pretty strong. It's a very mixed message right now. And I think what we're seeing as a result of that is, on the one hand, we're seeing huge layoffs in bougie areas like tech, but on the other, we're continuing to see real push for unionization for the parts of the American labor force that are feeling the most pain right now. It's a very mixed picture.
It seems like for a while we were just sort of juggling, dealing with inflation, but trying to achieve a soft landing. And now it feels really very much to be the case that it's either deal with inflation or hard landing. I mean, you're going to have to have the hard landing to actually deal with inflation. Do you see it that way?
I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that, because I actually think that the soft landing is still something that's possible. And the reason I believe that is we are beginning to see the decline in commodity prices. We are beginning to see the supply chain that has choked so much of the pricing flexibility of the U.S. begin to ease off. I don't think a hard landing is necessary, but I think what is really critical is the Fed being responsive to the data as it's released. And we also need to start seeing earnings coming out from companies show that they have been able to contain costs aggressively, and therefore be able to contain the pricing, the upward pricing pressure that we've seen so far. And I do think that there's a way to do it. I think we've seen some companies being able to respond to this environment fairly quickly and with agility, whereas we've seen others struggle. So I think the more we see some good news coming out on cost containment, I think that the more optimistic I am that the soft landing is achievable.
Well, it's also going to be what they say in the earnings season about how they're doing at the moment, and also looking ahead to the end of the year and early part of next year.
Well, it's interesting. If you look at what happened with FedEx today, if there is ever a canary in the mine that shows what is the state of the global economy, you could see that, you know, expectations for revenue for the company were missed. You know, you've seen that in the share price come down dramatically today and earnings guidance being pulled. But you've also seen them come out with plans to quite aggressively shut down offices, 90 FedEx offices closing, to reduce labor where needed. So I think we're in this really strange moment right now where you've got companies trying to respond quickly to reduce consumer demand, still solidifying their operating plans. And I think this coming earnings season, we need to see what that looks like.
And just having a look, you know, we're discussing what your thoughts are about the Fed and the economy generally. But how does that all then fall into place for your investment strategy? And the thing is it a search for defensive companies and wealth protection and not wealth acceleration?
You know, it's one of these things where I'm trying to be defensive in the short term, but still look out for what could be good tailwinds for longer-term wealth creation. But it turns into, as a result, a relatively dull investment strategy, to be honest. So where I'm putting money to work at the moment is buying into tech staples where we've seen valuations drop off quite dramatically. Companies like Apple, where I am a believer over the long-term appreciation of that business still, or companies like GM, where there is a long-term electronic vehicle tailwind with the amount of government backing for the sector, but where there are dividends that are going to be paid out by these businesses in the short term, so that even if the stock price continues to drop a little bit in the near term, there's some dividend coverage of the cost basis. So that's the kind of strategy I'm pursuing. Dividends for the short term gives a bit of downside protection, but where I still think there are secular thematic growth areas long term.
Yeah, if you think about it, you can make the argument that this is a great time to buy stocks, and it's a terrible time to buy stocks, depending upon your time frame. Because if you're looking out 3 to 5 years, it's probably pretty good because there are a lot of bargains. And if you're thinking about money over the next 1 year, you could be in trouble. Now, I note in your notes, you talk about access to capital. We've had virtually no IPOs this year. M&A would seem to be pretty difficult in this time. So you have companies turning to the private markets. Now, in the private market, you don't have mark-to-market every day. And so you see a story like today, Adobe buying Figma, and almost everybody on the street thinks they've overpaid, and the stock went down 17%. So how do you approach raising capital and doing deals in this environment?
To your point, it really is the best of times and the worst of times, to misquote Charles Dickens, happening all at the same time. And when it comes to capital access, the public markets are essentially closed off right now to companies who want to raise capital. The private markets are really interesting because if you go back and look at what happened in that 2008, 2009, 2010 timeframe, private credit funds, that means investment platforms that are privately issuing debt, often to large corporations, and filling the void where the banks were not lending. A lot of those funds, that 2010 vintage, performed incredibly well when you look at the returns they delivered. The same is also true of private equity. Private equity funds that were deploying capital in that 2010-11 timeframe delivered fantastic returns. So the private capital market, at least here in the U.S., is very actively hunting for deals right now. And I think whether it's credit because the yield is getting so attractive, or whether it's on the equity side where there is some courage still to go forth and make investments, I think there's going to be a real rush to get capital out the door through a recessionary period, and we'll probably do quite well if history is the mark.
Well, okay, I'm going to change subject slightly now as well and look at more at your investments and have a look at if you see the strength of the dollar as a buying opportunity overseas, given that, of course, that makes that asset that much more discounted.
I think that's exactly right. And like, I spent a lot of the last couple of months over in Europe and also in the UK. And you could see, these aren't assets, but you could see the level of tourism had absolutely gone through the roof, particularly from American tourists who are going over to these markets because of the strength of the dollar. That being said, I don't think that there's going to be a surge of dollar-based investment going over to Europe. I think the recessionary risk over there is perhaps being underestimated. If you look at the shock that has happened in terms of natural gas prices, energy prices as a result of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and the impact that that has on the average household in both the United Kingdom and in the major European markets, I think the threat of consumer recession of those markets has not yet been fully understood, at least by the U.S. capital. So I think it's going to be domestically focused investment for now.
And thank you so much for joining us, Anne Berry there from Threadneedle, getting her outlook.